Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
With the 5th pick in the 2025 NBA Draft, the Utah Jazz select Arius Ace Bailey from Rutgers University.
This was not one of his preferred destinations, Utah. He was hoping to get to either Washington, New Orleans, or Brooklyn. The Utah Jazz selected Ace Bailey knowing that this is a little bit of a stunner.
The NBA Draft last night. Good morning, Jeremy, Joe. Jeremy, 100 holes of golf this morning. Sal is in. So last night is the NBA Draft. Also, by the way, just want to, should mention it like every 2 minutes because everyone's waking up at different times and maybe you missed it overnight that J.J. Paterka got traded to Utah. So Utah in the NBA Draft, the Jazz, they make that pick right there. Ace Bailey, who went, I think it was 5th overall in the NBA Draft. And as you heard the breakdown there from ESPN after the fact, they knew he didn't want to be there. He actively avoided them in the pre-draft process. I think he canceled a workout. He wouldn't do an interview with them. He actually looked pretty stoic, I think, when he got drafted last night. Like, he didn't look thrilled. But Utah drafted him anyway. I mean, this is kind of an overall sports debate, isn't it, though, Sal? Like, it's not just, you know, the Sabres. It's not just hockey. It's not just the Utah Jazz. It's what do you do when, because sports has a draft and hockey has contract clauses and RFA and there are teams have rights that are negotiated through CBAs. I am as pro player as it gets. I don't think it's fair in the National Hockey League that a guy can play until he has to play until he's like 27 years old before he's able to choose where he goes. I think that's BS that the system is set up that way. But it is set up that way. So what is a team supposed to do when they're faced with a situation where they have the right to have this really good player, but they also know the guy doesn't want to be there? What are you supposed to do?
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I think it takes a while, you know, for the player to have control, except in one way, which I hate. These no movement clauses, no trade clauses, I think are so ridiculous, so many of them. Mm-hmm. They're included in like every freaking contract now. Actually, I know that you have to wait a certain amount of years. When can you put it in? How long you have to be in the league to put that in? Could J.J. Paterka have included that in his new deal? I don't think so.
No, I think it's your first deal after rookie contract. You can put it in.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, I didn't see. I'll just try to find it. Wouldn't you bet? I bet Paterka's got something.
I mean, yeah.
In his contract,
I understand.
This year.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that go along with that. I mean, maybe Ace Bailey's going to be unhappy in Utah, so they can trade him to Buffalo. I mean, this is what happens, right? You get unhappy right away. And you trade him somewhere.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
I know Buffalo does not have an NBA team.
The Jazz last night, like they are knowingly taking a guy that, like, they're taking a risk. The risk is he'll be a problem and he'll be miserable while he's there. But they're saying what? They're saying we believe he'll be more professional than that. Mm-hmm. And that he'll do his job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in 4 years, if he still wants to leave and we haven't built something, then I'm sure he'll ask out. But for now, he's the best player on the board, and I'm taking him. And I feel like the Sabres don't operate that way. And maybe they take it too far. And this is my biggest problem with the Paterka trade last night, is I don't feel like the Sabres needed to act like they had a gun to their head. They had leverage, and maybe they feel stronger about these two players than I do. But I think they didn't need to feel like they had to trade him.
By the way, every time I hear Ace Bailey, I actually in my head hear Ace Frehley, and I'm wondering how many of you here know who Ace Frehley is. Do you guys know? I'm guessing Owen might know the name Ace Frehley. The only person that's on this show right now that might know. Do you know who Ace Frehley is? Every time, how many of our listeners are listening right now and say, "Okay, yeah, I get it." Do you know who Ace Frehley is? This is how I
know
the age of the age gap here. All right, you do not know Owen. Do you know Owen? Can you turn him up real quick? Do you know who that is?
He's guitarist, right?
For the band?
Oh, man.
Ah, Kiss.
I know. Yes.
Ace Frehley is a lead guitarist for Kiss. And every time I hear somebody say Ace Bailey, I think of Ace Frehley. Anyway, but I didn't want to bring it up because I had to because I'm like, I know I'm the like old guy here now on this show today.
It can happen. It's okay.
All right. Ace Bailey. By the way, Dylan Harper got drafted, second overall. I believe he's Ron Harper's son. Do you remember Ron Harper?
Yes.
Basketball player?
Somewhat. Is he done playing, though, by the time I'm...
Probably.
Like, when is he done playing?
I think he... I have to take a look. His 15 seasons in the NBA, Ron Harper. He played... His last year was 2001 as a Laker.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm too young for that.
Five-time NBA champion, Ron Harper. Big shot, Ron.
Yeah. Let's get to Matt Bovee.
Big Shot Bob. Was that... That wasn't him.
No.
That was Big Shot Bob.
Right. That Robert Horry.
Yeah, Robert Horry. Sorry. Ron Harper, though, five-time NBA champion.
Yeah, Matt Bovee on the Western Hotline is probably like, these guys are late to get to me because what? They're trying to remember what years Ron Harper played basketball.
Who Ace Frehley is.
Morning, Matt.
Morning, guys. How are you?
I'm good. Did you wake up to the news? Sal gets the breaking text alerts overnight, and he wakes up to them. I keep my phone off completely, so I didn't find out till this morning. When did you find out about the Paterka trade?
I think it was like 1 a.m. I found out. I only found out because my daughter was making some noise in her room, and that woke me up on like the baby monitor. Mm-hmm. And then I looked at my phone because it's on my phone, and then I have push notifications for a bunch of people who follow the Bills and the Sabres. And I saw them all posting randomly at 1 in the morning, and I was like, what is going on? So then I opened it, and I was like, whoa, okay, that happened out of kind of nowhere. Because I had gone to bed before that initial report around 11:30 that he was going to get moved, or it looked like he was going to get moved. So it just hit me completely out of left field. So I was trying to process it with a crying baby at 1 o'clock in the morning. It was kind of a mess.
Yeah. Matt Bovee on the Western Hotline, WKBW. Also, it's always game day in Buffalo. And brought him on to talk some Sabres. Of course, we've got the series on Channel 7 with the stadium and revisiting that in memory. So get a little of that later, too. But Matt, I brought you on because of your. I was reading your mock offseason last night, and you had a Paterka trade in there. So that part of it, I guess, is outdated, but I like the other stuff in there. But how do you feel like they did value-wise compared to, like, you had him for Rasmus Anderson, which is a trade I thought about too, defenseman from the Flames. How do you feel like they did in comparison to what kind of the expectation was of if they trade Paterka, what they would get?
Worse than they should have is how I feel like they did. But I feel like this is a very important distinction. You cannot like the return, but also like the pieces that they got back. That's where I feel like I fall this morning. I like Kesserling and Doan, but I feel like J.J. Paterka should have gotten you more. So moving forward, obviously, the trade is already done. Now you need to see what happens next. I thought that they would get more for Paterka. I thought he was their most valuable asset going into this offseason. So to see the return for him, not as just a bit underwhelming for that specific trade, it also makes you wonder about their other assets that they might move and what they can fetch in a return there. We already know that free agents are not lining up to come play in Buffalo. So if you're not going to ever get the top pick of free agents because they don't want to play here, you have to improve your team by getting maximum value back in trades. And for them to get this for a 23-year-old player who still has tons of potential is concerning to me. I thought they should have gotten more. All of that said, if they would have gotten those two assets in a different trade, I would have been like, yeah, I like those pieces. Like, I think solidifying your blue line, especially finding a partner for Owen Power, is really important, especially one that's cost-controlled because it does allow you flexibility. But it's only a good thing if you actually use that flexibility and actually use that money. So I feel like we've kind of seen the first domino fall, but there are more that we need to see to kind of get the whole picture of what they're going for.
I think you put that all exactly how I'm thinking about the pieces they got, because I do want to like the pieces that they acquired. I guess my biggest problem then, Matt, and I don't know how you feel about this, is the Sabres acting this quickly on it, feeling like they traded them because maybe they felt like they had to. And where were you on that? Because I don't know, like, how much of, you know, of a backbone you wanted to have here, how, you know, hardball you wanted to play with Peterka, but he couldn't hit UFA status for years, and I know he didn't want to play here, but I would have wanted to see them kind of drag it out, call his bluff a little bit, if you will, sign an offer sheet, see what comes about with that. I don't feel like the Sabres needed to rush to make this trade.
I don't disagree with that, but then I also get to the point, and I don't know the answer to this, I don't know if he's worth the headache. Like, there's certain people who I think maybe are worth trying to do that with. Mm-hmm. I don't think, I think J.J. Peterka is a really nice player. But I do not think J.J. Peterka was some untouchable, can't-miss player that is destined for greatness in the NHL and is going to be the next guy who goes and wins the Stanley Cup. I just never have felt that way about him. I like the player. I like the upside. I think he's really offensively talented. But defensively, he's kind of horrendous. And I feel like for what they are trying to do, like, they needed somebody to be more responsible at that end of the ice. The other thing that's interesting about Peterka, like, he certainly is a good player, but it's not like, from at least my vantage point, Peterka was elevating a lot of the other guys he was playing with on a consistent basis. And he wasn't a great power play player, and his shooting percentage was ridiculously high last year. So realistically, you know, it's easy to say, oh, he's only 23. What's stopping him from becoming a 75 or an 80-point player? I don't know if this is his ceiling or if there is that much more that he's going to be able to get to. I like the player. I would have tried to make it work. But if they got a clear picture that it wasn't going to work or it was going to get messy, I don't think this is somebody you kind of deal with that. I think you move on. I think they should have gotten more. But I don't really have an issue with them moving him.
And then as soon as they trade him, he does sign a contract, Matt. It's $7.7 million a year for the next 5 years. If you get the alert this morning that the Sabres signed that contract versus the Sabres trading him, how are you feeling about that?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I don't know, because I feel like I still want to see what they get for Byram, assuming they trade Byram. And the other interesting thing that this opens up is their forward spots are basically all full now, but they have to add another legitimate forward. So if they're going to use one of these assets that they're getting or an asset that they haven't moved yet to go get a forward, then I feel like I'll like how the team has overhauled. So I think that would have been a fair contract for J.J. Peterka if he signed in Buffalo totally. But to get Kesserling, now I wonder, okay, maybe can you turn Byram into a top six forward? Can you turn him into an asset that then you can combine to go get a top six forward? Like, what does this mean for players like Marco Rossi? Is he available and somebody the Sabres are kicking the tires on? How about Jordan Kyrou in St. Louis? Like, that would be an absolute slam dunk. Brian Rust in Pittsburgh, like, that's somebody who I mentioned in the mock off season. Obviously, he's a veteran. He's not a young player, but if he's available, he would help, you know, for sure your middle six on both ends of the ice. So, yes, Al, I don't know. I think I would have felt, okay, yeah, that's a good deal for a young player, and that's good value for him. But I really kind of want to see where things stand in a week, because this move to me, and when it happened, makes me believe, and maybe this is just me blindly giving the Sabres more credit than I should, but it makes me feel like they've got more things to come in the very near future.
It almost feels like it has to, right? Because if you look at their lineup right now, Matt, I mean, good ideas in their top six, not just guys that you would put in their top six right now because of, you know, because of who's available, like Tage Thompson, Alex Tuck, Josh Norris, Yuri Kulik, right? Like, those are four, and even, like, all those guys aren't perfect. Norris has injury problems, and Kulik looks like he should be that, but I think you still would like to see another step. And even with that, there's two more holes, in the top six unless, like, because where they're at in their timeline, Matt, I can't imagine that they are thinking right now that plan A is, well, we're just going to cross our fingers that Zach Benson is going to be able to score more goals this season than he did last year, and that's going to be our second-line left winger.
They have to win now. And that's what, kind of going back to the point about needing to see the full picture, the reason I want to see the full picture is because I have to imagine that the pieces that they plan to acquire with whatever other moves they're making will help this roster right now, or will be assets that they can try and flip to help this roster right now. If they trade Bowen Byram for just like some mid first round pick and then actually use the pick, I'll pull my hair out. That doesn't make absolutely any sense at all. I don't even want them to pick nine tomorrow night. Like, I understand that it's a good pick and it's a valuable pick. I'm just at the point, like, I don't care. Like, I know that that could turn into something, but you need to actually see results in Buffalo. So I want to see them make moves that help this roster now. And it feels like there is a clear piece missing in the top six. They have to fill the void of Paterka. And then if they trade Byram, which I'm expecting they do, they have to find a legitimate partner for Rasmus Dahlin. Because if they go into next season and their plan at first pair defense is Rasmus Dahlin and Matias Samuelsson, this team is destined to once again disappoint.
We know that they've concentrated on getting a little bit faster. They have, apparently, here with this deal, they've gotten a little bit, you know, bigger size-wise, physicality, things like that, that they've been looking to do. They gave up some scoring for it. The other area that is questioning now is goalie. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of talk that maybe they should go out and get somebody to be, you know, over UPL or in replace of UPL, someone who might still block Devon Levi to get to the NHL. Where do you stand on how all of that looks, Matt?
I love that idea. I just don't know who that is. And that's what I'm struggling with, because I think that it would make sense for them to go out and find another goalie and put Levi in Rochester for at least a little while and kind of make him earn a full-time job in Buffalo. I just don't know who's out there who is a better idea, because all of the names that are available in free agency are really underwhelming. And the few guys that you like, there's numbers tied to them that don't make any sense for the Sabres. Like, I saw something on Jake Allen yesterday that he could potentially get $5 million a year. And it's like, okay, what are we doing? Like, you're not going to go pay that guy the same amount of money you're basically paying UPL to just be a 1B. Like, it doesn't feel like there's the upside there. And then the guys who could potentially be available in trades also have a ton of flaws in their games. I think besides the top five or six guys, goalies are wildly unpredictable. So if they go into next season and UPL is their goalie, maybe he's good again. I don't know. If he's what he was last year, then they have some serious problems. But unless you're getting like a Jake Ottinger, which isn't going to happen, or a Connor Hellebuck, or a player to that caliber, like, it feels like it's a bit of a crapshoot anyway.
I think they probably sign Reimer back, don't they? Or somebody similar to that, like older goalie that might be nearing the end that's like going to only cost you like $1 million.
Yeah, probably. But it felt like I liked Reimer's game at times last year, especially at the end. But it definitely felt like at the end the gas was, you know, the tank was empty and he was out of gas. So you could do that for sure. But then you open up the possibility of, is there really a chance that they keep three goalies? Are they content sending Levi down and then halfway through the season, you know, making a flip? I don't know. I mean, like, it's not something I would immediately scoff at. I think that they need to do better than just go into the year next year with UPL and Levi. I just don't know how they do it.
How about Tuesday's press conference, Matt? How Adams sounded, there was a lot of frustration about his comment about fans being upset about the misinformation of the Samuelsson buyout, and I think he was making a larger point there. Did you have that reaction live when that press conference was ongoing, and then what did you make of, I think, a lot of people kind of being upset by it?
When the press conference was ongoing, I think, now, obviously, it's been a long time since this team has been good. It feels like that entire situation could have been handled much better and much differently. If you want to say, I feel bad for the fans because of the misinformation that's out there, then go ahead and say it. But then afterwards, you have to say, but I really feel bad because this team is in a 14-year playoff drought and we need to do everything we possibly can to make this team better as soon as possible, because I know this fan base is really, really hungry. And that's just what I thought of on the spot right there, and that would have played a heck of a lot better than him saying, I feel bad for all the misinformation because Sabres fans deserve better. The interesting thing about that is the fact that there's even people who care enough to know about potential trades and signings with this organization, that team should be really, really thankful for. So I didn't like that line. I don't really think that, you know, these press conferences, what he said about Paterka didn't bother me. The Samuelson thing is a completely different thing. I feel like they should be considering that, or they should be looking in to trying to trade him. I almost feel like he was getting defensive about Samuelson because he's trying to trade him, and then it getting floated out there that they'd consider buying him out kind of plummets the chance of a trade because other teams see that he might not be that valuable of an asset. So that, to me, was kind of what it was. Maybe he was getting a bit more defensive. I just didn't like kind of how he presented his frustration and where that frustration was pointed to. Like, it feels like the frustration should be pointed to all of the years of failure, not to misinformation that's out there.
Yeah, I like that point. Like, yeah, I didn't follow that yet. It wasn't just, you know, I think that there was a misinterpretation maybe from fans or media when he said, we've never given consideration buying up Matias Samuelson. That doesn't mean he's guaranteed to be on the roster in 2025-26.
No, it doesn't. And that's why I do think that maybe once that got out there, that, because the other thing is too, like a lot of people said on Tuesday, and rightfully so, you're talking about this misinformation, but you didn't specifically say what misinformation is out there.
Right.
It feels like Paterka wasn't misinformation because that trade already happened. It feels like Bowen Byram isn't misinformation because we think that trade is going to happen. So the only other thing that brings us to is the questions about Samuelson. So that's why, yeah, you're right, Sal. Like, maybe people just assume that if a buyout isn't possible, then that means he's just going to be back on the team. Like, in the mock offseason exercise I did yesterday on WKBW.com, I traded Samuelson for a seventh-round pick to the Seattle Kraken quite simply as a way to try and get his salary off the books. So if there's somebody who's willing to do that, then I think you do it. I don't think you're getting a return that you were excited about for Samuelson. I think the thing that would be exciting for Sabres fans would probably having another $4.5 million of cap flexibility to go out and find another player. Now, I think the organization likes Samuelson a lot more than most people. So I think he's going to be back. But it feels like that is an opportunity to upgrade, and I don't know if they'll take it.
Yeah, he probably starts season on the third pair at this rate. And that,
I mean, right now it would be him and Bernard Docker, unless if they don't go out and find, you know, a real top pair defenseman for Dahlin. Now, if they do that, if they go and find a legitimate top pair defenseman for Dahlin, and then your third pair is all of a sudden Samuelson and Bernard Docker, I think you can live with that. But if that happens, you better have also improved somewhere at forward. Like, you better have also made additions to the forward, because if the only thing that happens is you go out and find a new top guy for Dahlin, and then that's kind of it with your draft, then it feels like it's a massive failure of an offseason.
His mock offseason, as he mentioned, WKBW.com. And then Monday, another episode of 52 Years of Fandemonium.
Yeah, Monday, another episode. We've been rolling along, so we've still got, what, 5 episodes left from now all the way up until the first Monday of training camp. Every week will be a different episode. It has been really, really well received, so it's been awesome to see kind of all of this excitement surrounding it. The episodes are on TV every Monday night at 7:30 on Channel 7 in Buffalo, but obviously there's people who are listening right now who are out of town or who maybe don't have television or traditional cable or anything like that. All of the episodes are available on our website, WKBW.com, and our smart TV app. It's free. You don't got to download, like, you just got to download it, whatever, and you can watch the entire episodes. And the series has been really, really fun to put together.
Perfect. Monday, 7:30. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys.
Matt Beauvais on the Western Hotline. As he mentioned, he had Paterka in that mock off season to Calgary for Rasmus Anderson, which is a player that is not like a star in the league, but that would have been one this morning where I would have come in and been like, all right, that is a good player. And I understand why you're saying yes to a Paterka trade now, because someone's offering you, you know, a low-end top pair defenseman. And maybe Kesselring, who they acquire last night, becomes that. But again, he hasn't played more than 17 minutes a night in a season. Like, he's going to be playing a bigger role here than he ever has. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll check in with Paul Hamilton. The draft is tomorrow, so we'll talk some prospects a little bit later on this morning as well. So stay tuned if you want to get a phone call in. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll keep rolling through them on this trade from overnight. Paterka to Utah. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio here on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.